Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Dunker Spot. We are part of the Basketball News Podcast Network. I am your host, Nikias Duncan, and joining me as always is my co-host, Steve Jones Jr. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Feeling good, feeling great. Happy to be here, excited to be here. Shout out to all you dunkers. Thank you for once again embracing your bounce. We have seen it. It is here. It is done. The Warriors are back on the top of the mountain.
Four championships in eight seasons for the Golden State Warriors. A real two-ish year down period due to injuries and a little bit of roster turnover. And hey, where are they going? What's happening here? How long is Steph going to be here? What's the contract extension going to look like? He gets it. All right. How are they going to build this out around him? They got these young dudes. They have the core. Are they going to trade the young dudes? They stuck with it. They told the line. They kept their young pieces, integrated them slowly. And Steph Curry proved, hey, if I'm healthy, defense is going to have a problem. And if Draymond Green is healthy, your offense is going to have a problem. And you add in the contributions of Klay Thompson coming back from the two-year injury road that he had to deal with. You get the contributions on both ends of the floor from Andrew Wiggins. You get this growth from Jordan Poole to kind of blend this all together. And you have a special group that has, one, they've won. But I guess just for me, like, they've proven me wrong throughout this entire season. And they deserve to be commended for this season's run, their overall perseverance. Again, what Klay Thompson had to go through, what Steph Curry had to go through. Jordan Poole, in basically a year's time, going from young pup to G League stint to very, very, very important offensive focal point to, hey, what's going on this postseason, to making big shots at the back end of the series. It's just been a really impressive run for the Golden State Warriors. I'm very impressed with what they've been able to do.
It's a special, special run from this team, from this franchise. For me, I think about seeing Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry sitting with the trophy, holding up four fingers, and thinking about the road that they traveled and to be able to get back there together. I'm sure they all looked at each other and wondered if they could get back to this moment and the work they had to put in to get back to this moment, even this season. Mm-hmm. All of them missed time. And the Warriors never felt like the runaway favorites, at least narrative-wise. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a team that was at the bottom of the league. This is a team that lost two games in the play-in. And now you're NBA champions. And you look at what that entire team did from top to bottom. You talk about the defense of Draymond Green being the heartbeat and contributing offensively. Stephen Curry, incredible. Not enough time to talk about what he's done. Klay Thompson battling back. Once again, to have that moment. Andrew Wiggins finding himself, having an all-star season, becoming a champion. But that's a team that bought in. Top to bottom, it's tough to find someone who didn't contribute to this run in some way, shape, or fashion. Otto Porter being ready, staying ready. Gary Payton II being able to come back, but contributing all year. Jordan Poole making the leap he made. Kevon Looney in the series against Dallas. Kuminga and Moses Moody being ready when they were called upon. At different stages, different times of the year. I give a salute to Steve Kerr as well. To take what you've had success-wise and still have pieces of the core, still have pieces of what works, but to mold it and to say, hey, we need to run some more pick and roll. We need to play with a little bit different tempo. We need different lineups. And to get the contributions from all these guys, to get the buy-in, to get them to get back to playing defense, to get the ball movement back up, to go through the peaks and valleys of this year where you're missing pieces, you know? But you think, to me, off the top of my head, I think about how hard it had to have been to see what Jordan Poole was doing and know that Klay Thompson was coming back and try to figure that out. To see where you were rolling at and now you no longer have Steph Curry and we got to figure out how to make this work. Oh, we lost Draymond. We got to figure out how to make this work. But the experimentation lineup wise, the versatility, the adjustments, being able to play, hey, we can go small, we can go two bigs. Like, just think about it. We talked about, everyone talked about the, what they call that new Warriors small lineup.
We never really got a name solidified for it.
No, but it was all sorts of think pieces. And guess what the lineup was? Draymond plus Otto. Small adjacent.
There you go.
But yeah, man, an incredible run. An incredible run.
Incredible run indeed. Stephen Curry in this finals. A shade over 31 points. 6 rebounds. 5 assists. 2 steals. 43.7% from 3 on nearly 12 attempts against the NBA's best defense. It's superhuman stuff. Those were his series numbers, and that includes the game 5 in which he literally could not hit anything from deep. Do you know how insane it is to shoot nearly 12 threes a game, nearly knock down 44% of them, and that includes an offer in the sample? The Celtics could not find a consistent answer for Steph. There really is no consistent effort for Steph. That should be the overarching theme of what the series showed. Because as we talked about this throughout the series, Boston going with their drop. It was too deep early. They played it a step higher. The screen navigation was great for most of the series for Boston. And it mostly didn't matter. You throw in more switches, and now Steph is unlocked as a driver. You send 2 to the ball, and now you have Draymond slipping into space. Or you have someone slipping into space, and they're playing advantage basketball. And as great as Boston is at erasing those advantages, they're one of, if not the best, rotational defense in basketball as well. You can't feed Golden State a heavy dosage of those looks either. And all of that starts with the unique challenge that Steph provides to defense. And so I'm just impressed because Steph is amazing. But also, like, I'm glad that we got to see this on this stage without, what can you even say about Steph at this point? Like, if you wanted to hate on Steph, what could you say?
I mean, there's plenty you could say because that's what people would do, but it's time to acknowledge him. It's time. I'm not into goat talk or anything like that, but there's only one Stephen Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did in this series was incredible. You hit on the point I wanted to talk about. You think about how good Boston's defense is. You think about the matchup of Marcus Smart and Derek White trying to hound you, as well as having length and size to try and bother you. And Boston trying all of the defensive coverages. And after every clip, it was like, why would you do that? That's too much space for Stephen Curry. You got to be up higher. You can't switch him on that without giving him support. Think about how good you have to be to make a team like that cycle through all of those defensive coverages over the course of 6 games, knowing they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made them. Counters after counters. Okay, you want to be in a drop? Cool. High pick and roll. Now what are you going to do? We're going to find a pick-and-roll partner, get 2 on the ball, hold you. Now we're playing out of that. To get to the point in this series where Boston switched Al Horford onto Stephen Curry and then went with a switch and double. I think they only did it once. But to play at that high level, considering, look what Al Horford did in this playoff run, folks. Look at the people he defended. And they said, nah, we got to help. It's nuts. And it wasn't just the 3-point shooting. The drives, folks, the drives. The threat of the 3, I'm going by you. I'm going to get to the rim. I'm going to finish. And then defensively, did his job. One of the things that I talked about, going back to the Cleveland series, is, boy, the Warriors got to find a coverage for Steph Curry. The Warriors got to find a coverage for Steph Curry. While he was a pressure point, I never had that same feeling this run. And this man has been attacked for at least 2 consecutive series. And he held up. it was just phenomenal stuff. And you got to appreciate the work that he put in to get back to this level with all the whispers surrounding what he's done or what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give a salute to him.
Yeah, too. It's been long overdue. And like, this is the run where you have to, even the hateiest of haters have to be like, all right, let me at least take the offseason to think of something else. Like, even if you don't want to just completely give up the hater card, at least I got to go back to the gym with some of this stuff. Like, even if you want to zoom out from this specific series, the work that Steph did defensively all year long should be commended. And like, the Steph's a bad defender has always been a narrative that I haven't liked, because when he was getting hunted, going back to like the 2016 series or whatever, it wasn't Steph's a bad defender. It's the Warriors have Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green and insert wrong range of defender here. And hey, Steph's just the smallest dude. This is the best we got. And that turned into Steph can't defend. And it's just weird. But whatever. Come back to this year. Like, Steph has been really good defensively. We don't have to talk about the shooting. We shouldn't have to talk about the driving or the playmaking at this point. But this season is all the sample you need to know that Steph can do that at high level as well. And just to go back to your point about what Boston had to shift in this series to try to defend Steph. One of the things that I talked about after their first round series with Brooklyn, when it turned into like a Kevin Durant slander fest, it's like, Kevin Durant is one of the greatest basketball players to ever live. Do you know how good your defense has to be for a guy like Kevin Durant to struggle? And it, like, it's completely flipped in this one to where, do you know how good of a player you have to be in order to bother? I mean, for Steph Curry to just turn your defense on his head. Marcus Smart, Derek White, the point of attack. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, willing to switch on to you. Robert Williams on the back end. Grant Williams, a really good switch defender, which, you know, this series wasn't great for him overall, but this is what he is. Al Horford, who has been very good across multiple coverages all season long. We were talking about him defending Trae Young during the regular season and holding his own. You have this defensive infrastructure with this kind of size, length, versatility, scheme versatility. And Steph made Boston second guess themselves in literally every coverage they threw at him. This is special. This is a special talent. It has been for a very long time.
No, yes, it's time. Enjoy the time you get to watch him while you can. Yeah, because he is a truly, truly special player. Now, the thing is, it's still just mind-blowing to me, because Boston really had a bend-but-don't-break approach. And Steph Curry made that incredibly difficult to live with,
mm-hmm,
in different ways. Even going to when Boston said, you know what, we need to ramp this up a little bit. Base guard, we're going to deny him. We're not going to let him get anything off ball. And what that opened up. Like, it's just, it's tough. But I do want to salute the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, got to.
Before we dive into this. And I'm sure there'll be takes and collapse talk and all the fun stuff that I don't see because I'm in the bubble right now. But to go from where they were earlier this season to game 6 of the NBA Finals, pushing to win a championship, that's a hell of a run. And they deserve credit for making that run. Ime Udoka deserves a hell of a lot of credit for getting that buy-in from that team. The defense they displayed from, what, the start of the calendar year to now? Mm-hmm. Insane. Incredible. Very tough to deal with. And I'm sure the talk's going to be on their offense and losing the plot and stagnation. They need this. You got to remember where it was before.
It was worse.
This team was lost. There was no flow. There's no decision making. There's no movement. There's no playing together. It was, we're going to go ahead and get buckets. And if not, we're going to lose the plot. And to grind and play together and find ways to make themselves pressure points. And Marcus Smart as an initiator, a playmaker. Jaylen Brown's growth as an attacker. Jason Tatum's growth as a playmaker and a scorer. being able to find ways to grind their way offensively over and over and over again. What they did in the playoffs was special. Hey, we're going to find a pressure point. We're going to grind it. And we're going to beat whatever you throw at us. Double teams, drop, two on the ball. They had to make an effort to get here. Say what you want about no Middleton, but Milwaukee's defense was game. Miami's defense was game. And your reward is a Golden State Warriors defense. And you made it to game six. That's a lot of fight, man. I'm sorry. You gotta put some respect on the Celtics for the run they made, especially from where they were. Contributions top to bottom. The trade helped smooth everything out rotation-wise. They had who they had, and they played who they had. And they ran into a team that had the defense to make it work and had the offense to hit them in the right spots.
It's just tough. And to your overarching point, like, Boston was outside of the play-in in early January as their ridiculous 22 stretch would begin. This wasn't a fifth or sixth seed team just trying to find their way, make one last move, and then make a push. This was a team trying to get into play-in range and then get out of play-in range. And for them to end up as a team with home court is insane on its own. They get Brooklyn. And as rough as they made life on Kevin Durant and as rough as they made life on Kyrie Irving, sans game one, I want to say. Like, you talked about different challenges that they faced. Like, that Brooklyn team, like, the offensive rating was still high for them. Mostly because, like, their others made shots. Bruce Brown was insane from three, just as an example. But, like, scheme-wise, like, they bothered the heck out of Brooklyn stars. That's a ridiculous first-round test for anyone. And they didn't hide from it. They didn't run from it. And they close sweep, but they swept Brooklyn. Second round, they have to deal with Giannis. I picked Milwaukee in that series. I was like, I don't know if, as great as Boston's defense is, like, they haven't dealt with a paint presence quite like this. And these are the defending champs. And even without Chris Middleton, I was like, hey, this amount of rim pressure, this amount of size that Milwaukee has that Brooklyn just didn't, like, I think that could be enough to where Milwaukee could get it done. And it went seven, but Boston took punches and then dished them back out. You already hit on it some, but, like, Milwaukee threw out different things defensively. You saw switching. You saw a drop. You saw the drop kind of fluster Jason Tatum a bit, and then he figured it out. And I think just, man. And then the Miami series is just a 12-round fight, which is just fun. But I think just zooming in on the stars in particular, I am so, it's weird to say proud, but, like, I'm proud of Jason Tatum this year. To have the start to the season that he had shooting the ball. And he was a part of the reason why Boston's offense didn't have as much flow as they wanted. Some of the ball stopping tendency was there. Some of the pressing was there. Same with Jaylen Brown. And we all kind of remember, like, the flashbulb moment of Boston's weird start was Marcus Smart saying, hey, teams know that those two guys don't want to pass the ball and fall out from that or whatever. But ultimately, they flipped it into gear from there. You mentioned Jaylen Brown's growth, but Jason Tatum really grew as someone that could set the table and could dictate terms. And that was important for me. So we know what he can do as a pull-up shooter when he has it going. The drives were improving, and he can ISO you and get tough buckets. But once you started seeing him operate in pick and rolls, like, okay, this guy's going to help here, so I'm going to move this way, draw this help defender, and I'm going to fire skips. The growth as a skip passer, in particular, is night and day to where it was last year. That's fun, man. Him dictating matchups in that Brooklyn series, knowing what the size disadvantage was, drawing those matchups, and being able to play make from there or score over the top. Seeing different schemes from Milwaukee, and figuring it out, and just blasting them in the last two games of the series. Looking at what Miami did to them with the aggressive help from the strong side, different matchups that he saw. And he just figured it out. Boston helped him out with some smarter spacing and stuff, but he figured things out as a driver, as a playmaker. And against Golden State, people forget, like, before Draymond got hurt, like, we talk about Boston being the best defense in basketball. Before Draymond got hurt, that was Golden State. They had the best defensive rating in basketball by a pretty decent margin. And so Jason Tatum is faced with this. And he shot well from three, but inside the arc, it was messy. And that's going to be an improvement point for him moving forward. But based on the growth that I saw from him in 2022 and from what he did during this postseason, seeing different schemes, seeing different matchups, and continually figuring that stuff out, I have all the faith in the world that Jason Tatum's going to be able to figure out this.
Well, no, I think you hit on it. For me, I go back to where my thoughts were with Boston beforehand, and the big difference to me was once they finally got Jason Tatum unlocked as a playmaker, that's a lot to deal with. As you stated, the shot making is there, but now if he can put two on the ball and open plays up for other people and consistently hit the right notes for others in the ways you spoke of, in pick and roll, drawing double teams, making the right plays, quick decision on the drives, that changes the game. And once he became that kind of hub, and you got to remember, that's not an easy leap to make playmaking-wise. We've seen usually young guards, young wings struggle when that pressure or tension comes. And he was able to make defenses pay over and over and over again. And that's incredibly impressive. I give a salute to him because that offense looks a lot different when he's able to do both of those things. I give a salute to Jaylen Brown. Say what you want. What do you want to say? He's got the mindset. He's got that dog in him, the X-ray, whatever you want to call it. I know. I'm sure he became a meme, turnovers, or why do you do that? But this man looked Bam Adebayo and Draymond Green and whoever was in front of him in the eye and said, I'm coming at you.
Sure did.
You got to deal with it. And those two being able to figure that out and grow with Al Horford being on demon time for the majority of the playoff run, you know, until Steph tapped him on the shoulder. an incredible run for Al. I mean, defensively, for him to hold up at that level against those matchups. And he did it for most of the season as well, not just the playoffs.
That's the thing.
I keep going back. Me and you, I will always remember, we looked at that week Boston had, and we looked at who Al Horford was switching on. It was like, huh? How? Kyrie, Trey, Ja, Kevin Durant. It was wild. And he did it. So, I mean, salute to Boston, man.
Salute to it took the finals. It took, like, game three of the finals for Al Horford to find, like, a team slash matchup that he wasn't great at.
Oh, yeah. If only. If only someone had mentioned that.
If only, yeah.
Making Al Horford a pressure point would be the thing.
Darn. Whoever it is, it should, you know, should probably make a podcast or something. Get that analysis out there for the Masters.
LMBO.
It's kind of tough. But heck of a season for Boston, man. I mean, the future is here. Like, this, what a team. What a series this was.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was a great series. If you really embrace the little things, the back and forth, both of these defenses coming to play every single night, and each team trying to impose their will every single night, trying to find the pressure points, the lineup decisions that had to be made on a game-to-game basis, quarter-to-quarter basis. Can we find the right combinations against what they're throwing out there? And each team trying to figure it out and find their way. And I had fun watching it.
It was so fun.
I had fun watching it.
We talk about how great Steph was, and he was, obviously, and how good Golden State was at finding these pressure points and stuff. Golden State's offense was still well below their level during the regular season in this series. Like, Boston overall still defended them well.
In this series, in this game.
Yeah.
Golden State had 72 points with 6:15 left in the third quarter. They ended the third quarter with 76 points.
This was an insane defensive series. Insane. And this is with Jaylen Brown's had a game. He had 34 tonight. But, like, Jaylen Brown's had a game in this series. Jason Tatum's had a game in this series. Steph Curry has had multiple games in this series. Steph Curry dropped 43 in a game. Like, it, this is what it's all about, man. Like, this is the fun stuff. This is the fun stuff. And like, it's a series like this with these like archetypes, I would say, just these versatile, switchy, tough defenses that can throw a wrench in whatever you want to do offensively. Like, it's a series like this where I'm like, I hate someone has to lose because they're facing such an elite defense. That means their offense is going to disappoint. And if their offense disappoints, then there's probably going to be something going on with one of the stars. And that's just going to lead to takes. And I hate that. And again, that's not to say that Boston didn't have their mishaps. Like, again, Jason Tatum has some stuff to figure out inside the arc. I've been called for him to have a floater for 2 years now. Like, that's going to matter. Jaylen Brown, as aggressive as he was, like, there were turnovers. Marcus Smart had some turnover stuff. After the first couple of games, we didn't really see much from Derek White off the bench. Boston's bench, from a scoring perspective anyway, failed him tonight. And like, that stuff is valid. But ultimately, there's a reason a team this good with players this good had the kind of numbers that they had in this game and in this series. Golden State's really freaking good at defense. There are no pressure. There is nothing easy to attack. The perceived easy points to attack for Boston were Steph Curry, who's been really good defensively all year long, and Golden State had help behind that if they wanted to. Like, they just sprung show and recovery on in game five after switching for the first four games. Like, you had that in the back of your mind on top of the help they show on top of Steph doing what he does. Jordan Poole got some help behind him. The Nemanja Bjelica minutes, that looks like the matchup. He did his job, and he had help behind it. Like, this is a really good team.
No, I mean, you got to give credit to the Warriors' defense, especially the adjustments they made as the season went on. Boston lit them up with dribble penetration and early passes, and Golden State stuck with their base of, hey, we'll switch. If we have to switch, we'll go ahead and battle to keep the ball in front. If we don't do that, we'll keep it to the side and get some late help. And they kept hitting on that. Got more active on the ball, got better with their weak side help. Got better at being nuanced as far as when to switch, when not to switch. That's a very little thing. We talk about schemes, X and O's. You got to execute it. And when you can blend it in different ways to where it's not an automatic, and that to me was kind of the tell of early of this game, elimination game. Boston couldn't necessarily hit the automatics, and they were establishing and searching for things, but Golden State gave a hell of an effort. It was fun times, man.
Really was fun. I'm glad you brought the nuance of what Golden State was doing defensively. Like, even when they did go to show and recover with Steph or Poole, like, depending on where the pick was being set, sometimes it's just a quick show and get back out of there. Other times, just a full-blown trap around the sidelines just to strength, force Boston late into the clock. There's a lot to figure out. Like, one, that's tough to deal with. Then you talk about what Golden State's personnel is. This is Steph and, like, Kevon Looney. It's Steph and Andrew Wiggins sometimes. It's Steph and Draymond sometimes. You're trying to force a switch there. Like, you're dealing with that. And this is the first finals experience for these guys. Like, Jaylen Brown is still growing as a driver and playmaker. Like, the playmaking is going to have to come from him. Jason Tatum having to face a series of this. And then you zoom out a little bit, like, this is a six-game series after a seven-game series after a seven-game series. And the sweep against Brooklyn was decided by what? Less than 15 points overall? There's a lot of basketball. Versus a lot of talented personnel with a lot of different schemes, a lot of different help. That wears on you. And then Boston's wings had to figure this out. And then on the other end, navigate 17 different off-ball actions and screens and random relocations and pick and rolls and drives and rotations from there. This was a lot of fun to watch.
Very fun. You even go to the elimination game. Actually, it's a fun series because honestly, you could feel at each moment when the defenses were raising their level and the offenses were just losing the plot. You could literally feel it coming, like, oh boy, here it comes. Here's the 8-0 run over 3 minutes. And each team did it. And I think this elimination game was a great showcase for it, where each team looked like, oh, here they come. And oh boy, what's going on? What's happening?
It was multiple 14-2 times. For Boston to start this one.
Oh yeah, Boston came out like busters. Golden State looked like they didn't have any purpose offensively. Boston looked like they were establishing their other guys. Ran a play for what? Al Horford first play of the game. Now they're running Marcus Smart post-ups. Now they're getting kickouts off that. Now they're running post splits off of Marcus Smart post-up. And I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on? Just while I'm thinking about this game, I'll tell you the one burned in my brain. The three threes that Golden State hit
at the end of the first.
Boston put all that work into that quarter. And, you know, I still think the Pritchard Williams sub gave Golden State a little bit of life. Even without bucket wise, just gave Golden State a pressure point. We're like, hey, we can attack this, figure it out. But you have Draymond hitting a three. Y'all gonna get this podcast.
First of the series.
Steph relocating to hit a three, and then Jordan Poole getting a three off of offensive rebound, and all of a sudden the Warriors lead.
It's like, oh boy.
On top of, actually, I go back to that three that Clay hit early. Wasn't even a step back one-legged. It was like I caught it, and it's up. That was wild. Wild game, man.
Just bat-breaking stuff. And then the second quarter happens, and Boston just couldn't score for the run just kept extending. It's like, at what point are we going to get a Boston bucket, man? And I'm just like, okay, this is... It's like 9:30 left in the second quarter. Ime Udoka's called three timeouts. This is not the way this is supposed to go. And Steph Curry's still on the bench because he's having his regular scheduled rest. This is bad. But Boston fought, man. They could never get it back inside of like eight or so. Because again, that second quarter run really just buried them. But just a testament to their, they kept defending. They kept driving. They kept trying to find things in the half court. Jaylen Brown hit all kinds of nonsense in this game. Again, 34-7 for him tonight. Jason Tatum just didn't have it tonight, which is unfortunate in a closeout game. And it stinks that he had this game after the postseason run that he's had. Because that just kind of leaves a sour, it can leave a sour taste in your mouth on what he did.
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
It really shouldn't. Yeah, you'd love to come up bigger in an elimination game in the finals. But if you're going to judge his entire season off that moment, where literally a whole defense is locked in on him, I don't take away, I guess. But why? What's the point?
What does it do?
Yeah. Did you not watch what he did? Did you not watch what he did to get here? Like, that's the whole point of winning, is to make that player not play well. So what are we going to do? Just be like, I never understood that. But
it didn't, like, just think about the matchups Jason Tatum saw in this postseason run alone. Again, sweep against Brooklyn. Bruce Brown is a really good defender. Undersized, give him some stuff, but that is a guy that will get into your dribble, force you into some help. That's tough. Second round, you deal with Wes Matthews, with Giannis lurking. That's not fun. Eastern Conference Finals, you get P.J. Tucker, and you get some Jimmy Butler sprinkled in. You get some Caleb Martin sprinkled in. And you get some Victor Oladipo sometimes, too. And you have help coming early from the strong side corner. You got Bam lurking, or Bam's willing to switch on to you, too. That's not fun. And in this series, you get Andrew Wiggins. You get some Klay Thompson. You get some Draymond Green. While also being tasked with running the offense. This is hard stuff. And Jason Tatum's doing this. What is he, 23 now, 24? He's only 19 if we're going to keep that going. But, like, yeah, he didn't play great in game six. He didn't shoot well in this series. Again, I'll say for the third and final time, honestly, there are some things he has to sort out inside the arc to make that next step or the next quarter step, whatever. This is a darn good basketball player. A worthy All-NBA first team candidate selection, rather. What is there to... What?
Like, come on, man. You spent the first 3 months of the season slandering his name, though.
Slander is strong.
But I'm a rock with... I'm a rock with Nekapis Duncan.
You got it. First 3 months, I was like, hey... We, you know, our regular season segments, players that impress, players that you want to see more from slash disappoint, whatever. Jason Tatum was a frequent mention for me. The pods are out there to the point where Steve was like, man, this Jason Tatum again? I was like, yeah, I want to see him. Like, I know he can play better than this. What's happening? Why is he shooting like 28% from three or whatever it was? What are these decisions? What is the stalling? And he figured it out. Like, the journey is fun. It's fair to point out, hey, this can be better. And then when he does it, talk about that too. That's how it should work.
Oh, it's, who are you talking to? Subtweet.
No subtweet needed, but like, that's how it should work.
Talk to him, King.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, Jason Tatum's great. The Celtics had one heck of a run. Golden State also had one heck of a run. Basketball is fun if you're looking at it.
It's very fun. It's very fun. Also, salute to Draymond Green. Whenever that podcast drops,
that's gonna be the most listened to.
that man started with "Welcome to the Warriors Invitational," so
yeah, that's
the energy's on. But that, I thought his impact in that game.
What a defensive performance in this
not just the shot making, as you said, the defense. Like, he had some sequences where, I mean, you get beat one on one off the bounce. Kevon Looney pulls over to switch, and you flow right to take the low man and get the steal. I think he had a great double when Tatum was posting Curry just out of nowhere. Like, he just had plays like that. And then on the other end, hitting the turbo button, and he's doing his swing. Oh, wait, no one's guarding me. Where's my shooter at? Swing. The shot at the end of the third quarter. The antics of Grant Williams. Side note, that how do we rate the gap between them post-series? Honestly,
peak petty, man.
Let's be honest. We've all sat here and dapped someone up that we didn't really want to dap up that much. But you're feeling good, so I can dap you up right now. I mean, respect, but also,
but also is correct. this is on the Draymond double front. Oh man. I got a good laugh. Was it third or fourth? It's in the second half. I'll just put it that way so I'm not super incorrect. But Boston does the thing. They get Steph Curry switched on to Jason Tatum. It's going to be a post up on the right block. They throw the entry pass. Jason Tatum catches the ball. Before he can even dribble or pivot or anything, Draymond doubles him, swarms him. It is a turnover. And the commentary is like, there's careless basketball from the Boston Celtics. And I'm just like, no, that's Draymond Green being a generational defender. Like, what are we doing right now? Like, it's Draymond was rightfully criticized for some of the offensive gaffes, if we want to call them that, early in the series. But like, the defense from game two onward was insane. Game three onward was insane. It was peak Draymond, and we saw every bit of the Draymond Green experience defensively in Game 6 in particular.
We did. And salute to the defense from Andrew Wiggins and Klay Thompson. I felt like the jobs they did with their matchups, individually, they had some really good moments and great plays. We're kind of bouncing all over the place. I keep going back to Stephen Curry. I'm sorry. My mind goes back to the play in the second quarter. They ran a high pick and roll, Kevon Looney screening, Al Horford's guarding. Horford is above the three-point line. Curry snakes. Horford's still there. Derek White is navigating this entire thing. Does a flyby. Steph Curry shot fakes and then shoots a three. You literally cannot defend that any better. And it didn't matter. And it felt like he had at least three or four of those type of plays where that's what you're supposed to do. Wait.
That's greatness.
What? And like, that's the part where I feel like people don't necessarily respect or take in like to consideration how tough that is, man. Like, it's tough. Like, how do you even digest a game like that? It's an elimination game. Elimination games are weird. You know, we talked about that sequence. Things happen. Jordan Poole loses his mind, and all of a sudden Boston is behind, and it felt like it was tough because you knew Boston was going to fight, and they had a shot if they got stops defensively. Mm-hmm. Which they did, but they weren't necessarily creating those into transition baskets every time. Salute to Golden State for that. But also, you get the element of, hey, we're fighting the clock. But also, yo, you get into these type of games and these things happen, you're expecting the things that have happened in the series to keep happening. So Boston was playing the series. They had their good process, still trying to attack Steph. I mean, they left some food on the table. Golden State was playing the game. They were just playing the game. All they had to do was win this.
Yep.
Man, that they did. Man, what a woo.
This was good basketball. This is a fun season, period. Just riding the waves of these different teams and kind of the ebbs and flows that they had. Again, Boston was out of the play-in. They turned to the most dominant team in the East in the calendar year 2022. It didn't get challenged and challenged again and challenged again. And they fall short to Golden State, but it's like they fell short to Golden State. Again, I'm saying this as someone that picked Boston to win the series. Golden State did what they were supposed to do. Steph Curry was incredible. Like, Steph Curry is a literal scheme breaker, as evidenced by what he was able to do and the numbers he was able to put up and the openings he was able to create on and off the ball against the best defense in basketball. This kind of defensive personnel just is not normal. And Steph Curry said, nope, you can't solve me. Your only hope is that I miss. And in game five, he missed literally every three he took, and Golden State won anyway, because other guys got open shots off of his gravity. That's what Boston was dealing with. That's the kind of offensive weapon it took to beat Boston. This series went six, and Boston was still trying to figure things out on offense. This was fun. This was a lot of fun. It just to bounce off of your point about Golden State's wings. Man, the defense from Klay over the back half of this series.
Yeah, apologize.
Very impressive.
Yeah, apologize to that man.
His ability to stifle Jaylen Brown on the perimeter. Allow, because again, Draymond didn't start on Jaylen Brown. That was a game two adjustment. And then he eventually slid back to Al Horford or Robert Williams in being able to roam and blow things up as a helper, which is his best role. Draymond is generational. He can do it all. He can switch. He can do whatever. But at his best, he's a backline guy that can erase mistakes or just provide an extra punch as a helper. And Klay Thompson's ability to stifle Jaylen Brown allowed Golden State to reconfigure those matchups back and put Draymond more in his best role, I would say. That's huge. And Andrew Wiggins bothered Jason Tatum all series long. And just having that kind of perimeter defense, that was the question mark that I had coming into the series. We talked about it. One of the questions I had before the series, like, hey, I know they're going to go after Jordan Poole. They're going to try to go after Steph. Is Klay Thompson also going to be a guy that Boston tries to attack? And Klay answered that call. Like, no, you can't do that to me. You mentioned earlier the first play of the game was an Al Horford post-up against Klay Thompson. Got the bucket, but we didn't really see that happen again. Al Horford ended up with 19 points still. But that wasn't, hey, we got the Klay matchup. Let's post him up eight times. But Klay did his job. And Andrew Wiggins did his job. They couldn't get at Steph the way they wanted to get at Steph after that first four-minute stretch in the first quarter. Jordan Poole held up enough. His minutes were cut throughout the series. But especially the last three games, he gave them timely shot-making. He gave them the juice they needed as it became more of a Steph-centric offense for Golden State. Just really impressive stuff. Kind of sad the regular season. Kind of sad the NBA season is over. This was a lot of fun.
It was a great season. A lot of great moments. A lot of great teams. A lot of fun basketball. If you enjoyed basketball, hope you enjoyed the season. Hope you enjoyed this playoffs. Hope you enjoyed this content. Thanks for rocking with us. Yeah, shout out to Klay, man.
Shout out to
Klay. I'm sorry, man. To go through all that. And you're a world champion on the court. Like, not just like, I'm back. That's incredible. I'm happy for him. How can you not be happy for Klay? I'm sorry. You're the draft's in 7 days, bro.
Yeah, the putting a bow on the 2021-22 NBA season, and the offseason basically begins in a week. I mean, the offseason has been here for 28 other teams already.
Speaking of the offseason.
Speaking of the offseason.
Dallas went and got themselves a table.
Christian Wood is a Dallas Maverick now. Was not expecting that one, to be honest. Or at the very least, I wasn't expecting it this early. But Christian Wood is a Mav. The Rockets got Boban Marjanovic, who is apparently a point guard, if you've seen Hustle. But, you know, whatever. Watch that. Sterling Brown, Trey Burke, Marquise Chris, who is having surgery. Hope he gets well soon. And the 26th pick of this year's draft. All going to Houston. Christian Wood is in Dallas. Steve, what do you make of the fit with Christian Wood?
What do you mean, what I make of the fit?
Like, do you... That's like, what's going... What do you think his role will be for this Mavericks team?
Be Christian Wood.
Ah, I see. Well, folks, thank you for listening to the episode of the...
Look, man, I totally understand the trade. I get the trade. If I'm Dallas, look, you found something, right? My first initial thoughts were I like the move. Christian Wood's skill set, in theory, should match A, what Dallas likes, and B, what works with Luka. When they made the trade and they traded Porzingis out of there, they clearly went towards certain type of bigs that worked with Luka a little bit better and people that maybe didn't have to be as featured as much with the ball in their hands. No disrespect to KP. He's a talent. Powell can roll. You, in theory, can space him. Kleber, you can space. In theory, he can sometimes roll. Dave Burt, you can space. Christian Wood kind of gives you a mix of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Has the ability to attack mismatches, can space the floor, can roll. Having that with Luka, based on the success you've had with the bigs you already have on your team, in theory, this should be big. And you gave up players that were clapping during the playoffs. No disrespect. And a first that you may not have had time for based on being in a win-now scenario. Like, I get, like, overachieving is one of the tougher things to manage in the league. And so I don't necessarily have this as Dallas goes over the top because of this trade. I'm not putting popcorn emojis because of the lineups they can throw out there. As tough as they can be, but you can get something out of Christian Wood. You need the buy-in. You need the defense. But, yeah, if that helps build on what you've built with Luka on that end of the floor, why not go for it? And also, do people forget what Christian Wood looked like with James Harden?
Yeah, I mean, it was like 6 minutes. I can understand how people may have forgot what that looked like, but it was pretty darn good.
The irony of that scenario is Christian Wood was also kind of a great pick and roll partner for James Harden. And think about how Luka can hurt you in pick and roll now. Do you really want to switch? You want to switch that?
Probably not.
You want to get some more slips? Maybe a little bit better roll threat? Still space? I'm just, hey, I get it. That's all I'll say.
I'm with you. I am, like, I also get it. I'm a little lower on the move because of the defense and what, I guess, how they're going to scheme around Christian Wood at the five. I just want to see what that's going to look like.
They schemed around Dave Burt.
They did, but like he gave effort too. So, to your other point, it's going to be the buy-in. But that's why I lean lower on it.
I'm gonna push back. I'm gonna push back before you give your initial reaction because that's the energy I have right now.
All right.
What's more valuable, his defense or what he could bring to Dallas offensively based on what they do?
What's more valuable?
Yes,
the offense for sure. But they're going to need the defense to be at a certain level so they can see the fruits of that offense. Because as it stands for me...
Or they play zone.
They could, but I don't know how much I trust Christian Wood in a zone right now either.
Like, so you don't like Christian Wood, the basketball player? Say it. Say it with your chest. Say it with your chest.
That's not what I'm saying. I don't like Christian Wood, the defender. I will put that on. That's on record. I don't like Christian Wood, the defender. And why? Those are just... There's a spatial awareness with him that just doesn't really exist sometimes, and that's exacerbated by some of the poor effort. I think the effort can be fixed to a degree because there was a... I think it got to a point in Houston where he's like, he just doesn't care. And like that part, in theory, can be taken away in a more win-now situation in Dallas. But I've seen him in a drop. When he did try, wasn't great. He's more comfortable switching, but even that's too... Even that has limits, I think I put it that way. I think Christian Wood is best equipped to play in like a more aggressive scheme just to make use of the athleticism and the length. But Dallas doesn't really dial up the pressure like that. So I'm just kind of just want to see like what that fit's going to be. Jason Kidd has a history of doing that. He just didn't do it with his personnel. So I don't know if they're going to bend that for Christian Wood or if they're going to ask him to, hey, just be better. Lock into what our principles are right now, exert the energy needed. Because offensively, like the fit is pretty clear, and you've already laid that out. My thing is, will the defense get to a level to where Christian Wood's going to be able to lock 30, 32, 34 minutes in the playoffs?
Question for you. Does he have to be able to do that, or does he just have to be out of the liability zone?
I think if he's out of the liability zone, he's going to be there. Because, I mean, they got to the point in this playoff run, they didn't really want to play Dwight Powell like that. Like, and we got to the Western Conference Finals, and Maxi Kleber couldn't make shots. So, I mean, the minutes are going to be there for him if he can get out of the liability zone. But I don't know if he gets out of the liability zone. That's just something that I will have to see.
But that's the beauty of the move. It's kind of a salute to, I don't know if we can do this exactly again. Let's have another piece in there. So now, guess what? If he can't defend, guess who could?
You throw Maxi back in.
And you'd be all right, right?
Yeah.
It's a value play. But hey, I'll just, what do I know?
No, I understand. Okay, I'm just explaining why I'm a little lower on the move. That's all. Not the silent cackle. You got it.
Before what? Before we acknowledge that you retweeted Sue Bird's retirement tweet after slandering her on this very podcast one episode ago?
Slander is very strong.
Also accurate.
It's not accurate. I didn't slander Sue Bird. Legend. Props to Sue Bird for a legendary career. College and the pros. He has announced that this is officially going to be her last season. So she deserves her flowers. Incredible basketball player, still a very good basketball player. Contrary to the narrative that's been trying to be pushed by this man, I have no, I don't have a slanderous word to say about Sue Bird. She's been great. She is great. She's having a good season right now. Let's hope it ends well for her.
Are you ready for our new favorite segment?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Steve Scholl's Twitter.
You're about to see the hashtag conversation, huh?
Hey, we're about to see what's going on. Real quick, because Nikias just got rid of free throws. Just hadn't done it in 40 episodes. If we have an exchange between Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins during the celebration, both saying they're going to get bags. So that's fun.
Okay.
Klay Thompson going at Jaren Jackson Jr.
Oh?
Wait, I need you to talk about something real quick. I need to hear this.
Wait a minute. Well, I guess I would assume this is a Twitter clip. So we're doing some tremendous live podcasting right now. While Steve listens to whatever is happening right now, I would like to take the opportunity to say, like, one, we're not done. But since this NBA season is finishing out, I do want to say thank you all for listening and supporting and rocking with us. This is the first full NBA season for the Dunker Spot. And it has been a journey adjusting what our format's been and cycling through that. And y'all have been tremendous. The support has been tremendous. And so we're going to transition to some offseason content on the NBA. We're going to transition to more WNBA content. So tune in with us if you already love the league, if you're trying to get into the league, rock with us. We're still going to be hosting watch parties, especially with the WNBA season kind of being the thing right now. We're going to have the NBA draft next week, but that's really going to be where the actual basketball is going to be played on the WNBA side. So rock with us on that regard. Steve, have you finished listening?
Yeah, apparently Jaren Jackson Jr. tweeted strength in numbers, and that very much aggravated Klay Thompson. Because he said strength in numbers is very much alive, and he said he can't wait to retweet it and call him a freaking bum.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's a lot of smoke for Jaren Jackson Jr. Now I kind of want to watch to see it. Like, did they have like a hard foul situation between those two that I just don't?
No, I think he's just. I really think he's probably just mad at the tweet.
Okay.
Well then. Oh man,
that's kind of tough. That's kind of tough. But while you were listening to that, I was just thanking the Dunkers for their support in our. You know, this is season two of the Dunker Spot, but the first full NBA season that we've done.
No, thank you guys. Thank you guys. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But thank you all for rocking with us, supporting us in the way you do, listening the way you do. It's wild to think people enjoy this. Which is a wild thing to say, but I'm tired. But I really, really, really much appreciate you guys. Like, we make it for y'all and to have a spot to be able to create and talk about the game we love in a way that is authentic to us is very much appreciated. So thank y'all. Thank y'all very much.
Yo, and thank you, Steve, for doing this podcast with me. I do appreciate all of the knowledge and expertise that you share. What is the wait a minute? Anyway, as I've said on here, on the timeline, on other podcasts, you are the star of this show, and I really do appreciate you. Thank you for rocking with me and for making this podcast what it is.
I mean, I really appreciate that. You know, it's a team effort, strength in numbers.
That's a good shot.
I don't think, you know, thanks for having me on. I really just appreciate those words, and I appreciate what has happened. What did you think of Finals Andrew Wiggins? Like, what would a good comp be?
Oh, God. What would a good comp be for Finals Andrew Wiggins? Shoot, man. I don't know. I don't know. What does the tweet say? I feel like that's where it's going.
Oh, yeah, it was a setup. Kendrick Perkins said Scottie Pippen.
I don't know about that one, Chief. That's... I would have taken James Worthy before I take Scottie Pippen.
Whoa, like, all right.
And I wouldn't say either, but like I would go there before I go Pip.
When do you see James Worthy play?
You said what?
When do you see James Worthy play?
When did I see him play? I'm not taking age joke. This is amazing. On Twitter, I'm like 57, and on the podcast, I'm like 12. Like at some point, I'm going to get the respect that I deserve on the age front. It is fine, though. It is A-okay. It's cool. Before we wrap this out, because I did say some W thing, did you want to talk about the Liberty knocking off the
folks, jump on board the bandwagon while you can. The Liberty are coming, folks. I like, number one, Marin, the passing. Like, I promise you, watch the Liberty play, watch Marin pass the basketball. You will not be disappointed. I promise you. Just, it's insane work every time. Think off the top of my head, pushing in transition, just a real quick flick of the wrist. Easy money, pick and roll, Natasha Howard, empty corner, bounce pass, slings it right, perfect for the roll. Natasha Howard, the more I watch the Liberty, she is the piece to why this is working. Being able to have her as a hub, scoring in the way she is, spacing, attacking in the post, adding some rebounding, add in the three-guard lineups. to where now you don't necessarily know where the play is going to start, where it's going to end up. All of their bigs are coming together at the right time. You know what Stephanie Dolson does defensively. She can space. She can screen on ball, off ball. You can flow into possessions better because you have multiple people who can operate on ball, off ball. You have Hanzu coming off the bench, not shy at all. It's going up, getting buckets. Very fun team to watch. And they're coming.
There we go. There is your weekly Liberty spiel from our own Steve Jones.
Weekly Liberty spiel. What a setup. Hey, Nikias, who's the eighth seed in the WNBA playoffs right now?
Who's the eighth seed in the WNBA playoffs right now?
Just want you to let me know that real quick.
let me pull up the standings, make sure I'm not a...
Let me know who that is.
Know who the eighth seed is. We have the loading circle in the middle of my screen right now.
Brother, if you don't... Come on, man. You're on the 80th floor. If you don't upgrade to the 5G LTE...
The 80th floor is insane propaganda. Leave me alone. The New York Liberty are the eighth seed right now.
Talk to me nicely. Talk to me nicely. N-I-C-E-L-Y.
All right. I'll do what I can. The road to 500 is a solid one.
All right, man. Hey, what's thank you for listening to another episode of the Dunker Spot. You can catch us on all major podcast platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Podbean. What's the other one?
Stitcher. There we go.
Get some beans.
Get some beans.
You can find me on Twitter at NikiasNBA. You can find him on Twitter at SteveJones20. With that, what you be saying? Arrivederci.
Scottie Pippen?